This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rack. This rack happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Wednesday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 10 a.m., watch along on youtube.com/1080am the fan or twitch.tv/1080am the fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. Wonderful, wonderful Wednesday afternoon. What is going to happen in Seattle as they completely overhaul their wide receiver room? DK Metcalf has asked to be traded. Tyler Lockett has been released, and the Jackson Smith and Jigba era is underway.
It's a pretty good guy to have. When you have JSN and you have Noah Fant, it's not like you're bare bones there, but it obviously is going to be a big difference, and you're going to have that burden of the passing attack be on JSN, and now Geno Smith has got to carry a little bit more weight, right? When you don't have three guys that you're throwing to that you trust and have been proven, especially with the way that Jackson Smith and Jigba played this past year, you know, he really kind of came onto the scene and said, all right, nope, I'm here to stay. DK was a guy that you always needed to pay attention to. Tyler Lockett crossing the field on those deep crossers. How many times have we seen him just pop free late? I mean, it's going to be a big change in a dramatic change to the offense and the way that it looks up in Seattle. But I think now everybody's saying, all right, does Tyler Lockett opt to go somewhere else? Where does he end up? And where does DK Metcalf land? Because a guy that wants to be traded that has a hefty cap number over the next couple of seasons, somebody's going to have to go out and say, all right, we're going to roll the dice on it. I think DK's got what this year he's on the books for $21 million. It'll be a $21 million dead cap hit if the Seahawks do trade him before June 1. If they have a post June 1 designation, they can ease that out over a couple of seasons. But it still is a pretty hefty load for whoever brings him on this year. And it's a 1 year deal, so you can get a contract extension with him, and you know, or just rent him for a year and say we're going to make a run.
And the next DK Metcalf team, courtesy of Bet Online, interest both of us. Number one, the Green Bay Packers at 3-1, 2-3, the Patriots at 5-1, the Raiders at 7-1.
Well, I think, first of all, that those two don't make sense if DK says he wants to be traded to a contender, because neither one of those franchises are anywhere close to becoming a contender. And it may kind of say where the Seahawks, if that's the betting lines, that's where the Seahawks may kind of keep an eye on. But it's something that we were talking about earlier, is that contenders don't have a lot of salary cap space to begin with. And Green Bay being on that list, we know that they want to go out and they want to get another target, because they need to find, they need to alleviate a little bit of that pressure off of Jordan Love. You have Romeo Dubs, who's been good, but they need pass catchers. Their cap situation, they've got $46 million right now to spend, and their roster's loaded. They're full. Like, they've done a really good job. Mm-hmm. So they can take on a DK Metcalf contract. The interesting part for me is that going to be a move that Seattle wants to make within the conference, within the NFC, knowing that if you do get into the playoffs or you become a playoff contending team over the next couple of seasons, you're going to assume they want to sign him to an extension there. Then at that point, you'll be competing against a guy that you're trading within the conference. That is the big difference between, you know, Green Bay and the next four teams that are on this list, because it goes New England, Vegas, Pittsburgh, and the Chargers. All four of those teams are AFC teams, and those ones are the ones that you likely would say, all right, you trade a really good player, you're going to send him somewhere where we don't have to meet him until we're in the Super Bowl.
And the two teams that pop up, Steelers at 7-1, Chargers at 8-1.
Yeah. And the Steelers, we know that they were kicking the tires on going into making a move at the trade deadline this past year to go and try to find another receiver to repair with George Pickens. You want to talk about a load of crazy that Mike Tomlin has to go ahead and weigh egos and juggle those? George Pickens and DK Metcalf at the same time? Holy smokes.
There's not enough ball to go around.
With DK, there is. They just don't have. You'd run into the same problem up in Seattle. It's like, give me a quarterback who's good enough to give me the ball.
Yeah,
that's the biggest issue. DK is fine if there's other receivers getting the ball. It's when I do get my shot, make it somewhere I can get the ball. It's got to be a catchable ball. And when you're talking Russell Wilson or Justin Fields being the two guys that are going to be throwing passes, I don't think that'd go well for DK. But if you're John Schneider, you're going, all right, what's the return I'm going to get? Because you want to go to a contender? Pittsburgh's always going to be a contender, right? They're always going to be good enough to be a playoff team, right? But we're going to get the big return. So for Schneider, we're not sending you to New England or Vegas.
No.
We're sending you to a place where you can win games, but there's going to be a big hole, and that hole is that quarterback.
And that's why the Chargers just keep popping up as the flashing red light of, this is the team, this is the team,
yep,
this is the team.
Dallas pops up right behind the Chargers, too, at 10-1. We know Jerry loves to make splashy moves. We know that they're looking for another guy to pair with CeeDee Lamb, and they desperately need to do it. And now we find out how much room Dak Prescott and his contract restructure has given them. $36.6 million is the cap room that's opened up with Dak Prescott. They paid him $45 million of his base salary, turned it into a signing bonus. And so they opened up a ton of cap space there. In the last 2 days with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, they've opened up $56.6 million to spend this year on the cap, which now opens negotiations a little bit more with Micah Parsons, which they would rather get that deal done now, because if you can get a new deal with Micah Parsons, that opens up more cap space for this year, because his number's at like $22 million or somewhere right around there, because he's in his fifth-year rookie option. It is actually not out of the realm of possibility that Dallas could do it. But is that a move that Seattle's willing to play ball with? That's an interesting one sitting there right behind the Chargers, is Dallas at 10-1.
It's DK is a game-breaking dude.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. Putting him in San Diego, in LA with the Chargers, just makes a lot of sense. And if you're the Seahawks, Quentin Johnson started to come on and figure some stuff out after a god-awful rookie year.
Yep.
Does Quentin Johnson in something? Quentin Johnson a third? Does that?
Yeah.
That sounds about right to me.
bury him at the end of the second round, maybe, if you, because the Chargers are going to be lower half picking, of the second round. That could happen.
That seems like fair value, right?
Yeah. And look, DK Metcalf and Ladd McConkey, that fixes a lot of the problems that Justin Herbert's been looking to fix. And, you know, we know with a Greg Roman offense that you're going to want to run the ball, then take some shots over the top. And DK definitely gives you that.
I think it's a good landing spot where I think value could be extracted that made sense for both organizations.
And look, with a release of Davante Adams, the text line saying, you know, Chargers could trade for DK and add Davante Adams. If they were to do that, watch out.
Good
Lord. They go from an 11-win team to contending in the AFC West. And they could do it pretty quickly. I mean, they'd obviously have a hole to fill with Bosa for half the season, because that's about what he plays, is half the season. But with the release of him and how much money that could open up for them. But if you can get Davante Adams for a, I don't want to say a bargain, but if you get him for cheaper than market value, then all of a sudden you're looking at a damn good receiving core, albeit aging with Davante Adams and kind of aging with DK Metcalf too. And look, the Seahawks' willingness to deal DK may not just lie in his surliness in their offense. It may be that, all right, we're looking at a guy who's aging, and how many more great years does DK Metcalf have in him? And that's a very real thing that they need to start looking at right now, because he is a big body, explosive athlete, and he turns 28 this year. Like, that
shelf life of wide receivers starts to wane pretty seriously around 30.
And that is one where they're, and this is the final year of the deal for him. So it's not that big of an issue, but they're sitting there going, ah, well, if the end is near, like, the dude is built like Zion Williamson.
Yeah. He's
massive.
That picture of him coming out in the draft with the other wide receivers working out, where he makes other wide receivers look like you and me.
He makes defensive ends look small.
Yeah. It's terrifying. And so you always have to wonder, you know, when does that give out? All right, coming up next is Wednesday afternoon. It's 2:15-ish. It is time for Fact or Fluke. A couple stories around the sports world. Are they fact or are they fluke? Danny and Dusty, Tinny the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Wednesday afternoon, it's 2:15-ish, which means it's time for Fact or Fluke, a couple stories around the sports world. We discuss whether they're fact or fluky. The first one out of the gate, despite somehow pulling out of the tailspin that was the game last night, are the Phoenix Suns the biggest disaster in the NBA?
No, fluke, because it's the Dallas Mavericks. Are you kidding me? Dallas is doing everything wrong. If they can do something wrong, Dallas is doing it wrong. The Phoenix Suns tried to push all in by hiring a championship-winning coach, acquiring Kevin Durant to join up with Devin Booker. They went out and they got Bradley Beal, though everybody said the contract is bad. They said, at least we're going to try to get this damn thing done. And it's backfired on them. But at least they tried. That's not as big of a disaster as what is happening in Dallas or Washington, or New Orleans. Remember, New Orleans was going to be pushing for like a top six seed in the West. Wrong. They suck.
Well, as it sits right now, I'm going to say fact because you've got two surefire first ballot Hall of Famers, and you're on the outside looking in the play-in, and your team's healthy. It got so bad, despite the Phoenix Suns with a 43-point fourth quarter. Jeff Van Gundy on the broadcast last night had this to say during the game against the Clippers.
You let the Clippers just push the ball for a drive and an and one. Does this Phoenix team, does this group of players really have a commitment to trying to get into the postseason? Because I'm not seeing it on the defensive end of the floor. I'm not seeing effort. I'm not seeing the Clippers having to make tough shots. I'm seeing easy buckets. Here we get a run out. I mean, we just got to see a lot more defense from the Suns if they're going to make a move here. The door's opened up with injuries to Kyrie Irving, Domantas Sabonis. This is what we're talking about. This Suns defense is pathetic.
Yeesh. And again, it took a 43-point fourth quarter for the Suns to beat the Clippers by two. The Suns currently have the 11th best offense. Pretty good. They have the 27th worst defense in the league. That's nasty work.
That's some Blazers stuff. I mean, that literally is the Portland Trail Blazers for most of Damian Lillard's time here.
I mean, with the exception of the couple years where they bumped up early in that run, that's it, man. That's nasty.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They are pretty bad. All right, Joe Lunardi refreshed his bracketology for the NCAA tournament. He has 12 teams from the SEC making it, 11 from the Big Ten. Fact or fluke, the Big Ten and SEC will account for 23 seeds in the NCAA tournament.
The SEC should get at bare minimum 12. At bare minimum 12.
No, come on. It's not a bare minimum.
It is. They are the best conference in basketball by leaps and bounds.
They are. I do not doubt that.
Their depth is unbelievable. Even a Texas A&M team last night upset Auburn, punked them, absolutely annihilated them on the boards.
Yep.
And Texas A&M is kind of a run-of-the-mill SEC team. The Big Ten getting that many teams would be a shocking turn of events. They are not a good basketball conference.
Well, the eighth best team in that conference beat both Alabama and Texas A&M earlier in the year.
Yep.
I mean, and that's the thing is the net rating and a lot of this, there's very good basketball being played in the SEC, but they're also the losses that they took. They took it on the chin to some teams that are middle of the road in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And I don't think 12, I wouldn't go and say a bare minimum of 12, because then you're putting in the Vanderbilt and Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma right now is 4-12 in conference play.
Texas and Oklahoma are both on the bubble as the last four out.
Yeah.
But you also, one thing you have to factor in here, and the committee always does this, beyond the wins, Texas has Trey Johnson. Oklahoma has Jeremiah Fears, two guys that are also, they're NBA bound, but more than that, are guys that they want in that tournament.
Yeah, good luck. I don't think they're deserving. If you, I mean, and now you're talking like 7-12 Nebraska, isn't? No, no. They're 7-12 in conference play. There's eight teams from the Big 12 as well, which means, like, think of that. You were at 31 of 68 teams are from three conferences. Mm-hmm. And this is with the ACC, a basketball conference in its own right, only getting three teams in. And what did we prop up the SEC for early in the year? Dominating the SEC-ACC challenge?
Yep.
Is it really that impressive?
No.
No, it's it isn't. But they're still riding the credit of being the absolutely crushing the ACC-SEC challenge. So I say it's a fluke that they're going to get 23 of 68 from two conferences.
I think it might end up being more. Next question. The Lakers are a real threat in the Western Conference and even the NBA Finals after adding Luka Doncic. They are now the two seed in the Western Conference.
No. Like, what they're doing, what LeBron is doing, is absolutely insane. And they will be good, and they're making a run. But when they run into bigs in a seven-game series, I think that's where things change. And LeBron is defying age, defying Father Time, but this is not a title team.
I don't think I could be more on the fence on this if I tried. I'm going to say fact. And the only reason I'm going to say it is because the NBA is so different than every other sport. More often than not, it comes down to which team has the best player. And going into any series, the Dallas Mavericks can comfortably say they have the best player with Luka Doncic. And they have another guy in LeBron James who might actually end up making first team All-NBA.
Yep.
And when you've got those two guys, despite matchups, there is no team in the NBA that can comfortably deal with those two, despite their roster shortcomings. And I hate saying that.
But I think one of the big issues is LeBron always revs up for playoff time. He's unloading right now.
Yeah.
And that's different for
at
LeBron
40.
Right now.
Yeah.
He's unloading. And so how much
gas
LeBron can LeBron play at this level for three more months?
Yeah.
That's what the question is. Mm-hmm. Does he have three more months at this level, which what he's doing for the past 2.5 weeks is incredible and unheard of? Mm-hmm. He's got to do it for three more months, which is nuts. All right, we found out the release date of Netflix's Happy Gilmore 2. It will be July 25th. Fact or fluke, Happy Gilmore 2 will be a good movie.
I'm going to say yes with the caveat of it can't be great because there's no Bob Barker.
Yep, Bob Barker dead.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but...
So is Chubbs.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Chubbs, R.I.P.
He's dead. Not just up there with the big alligator in the sky.
Not just dead in the movie, but his ghost can't even come back.
I'm surprised this isn't a 4th of July release.
Well, it's a Netflix, so it's not a movie theater movie, so they could put it out wherever.
Well, I know, whenever. But I would. This is the kind of thing that feels like a barbecue movie. You know what I mean? Like the barbecue weekend movie.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to compete with whatever's coming out in the theaters that weekend.
Yeah, so you're gonna get
a couple weeks later. I'm gonna watch it. It's not gonna be as bad as White Men Can't Jump.
Is that? What are you talking about with Jack Harlow?
God, that was a steaming pile of crap.
When is the Open Championship? Is that weekend? Maybe that weekend, because that's the major in July. That could be it. Maybe they're just
17th to the 20th, so yes, the next week.
Right after the Open Championship.
And I'm sure they'll pump that during.
Yeah. I'm going to get a little hype machine going behind it. I'm going to go Fluke just because it's a sequel to an all-time classic. And that's really damn hard to do. And I've already seen the still shots of Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler. Shooter McGavin is in it again. Don't know his actual name. I know Russ probably does.
Christopher McDonald?
There it is. Yep, that's it. That sounds right. All of them in it. Also, Grandma's dead too. There's no way she's alive still.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then also...
no way, she was old then.
The big gallery fan guy too. Jaws from James Bond. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's gone.
Yeah, and I'll see you after.
See... A lot of the great characters of that movie no longer with us.
You know what that means? It just gives us more room for more great characters.
Yeah.
Like Will Zalatoris.
So I'm going to go Fluke. He better be the caddy. He better be the
caddy. He is going to be in it.
He better be the caddy. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Look.
I don't think it'll be good.
Pull the nostalgia strings, baby.
Here's the other thing. Adam Sandler puts out crap movies, and so many people watch them.
The Remote, anyone?
There's a lot of... I love Adam Sandler.
I believe that was called Click.
I think he is great. He puts out some really bad movies.
That movie was terrible, but Christopher Walken...
I did cry in it at the end.
Wow.
That was a sad movie. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, it was a sad movie.
I mean, Henry Winkler died.
Yeah. All right.
Can't have that happen. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Fact or Fluke, every Wednesday afternoon, 2:15-ish. Coming up next here in the back half of the hour, Cooper Flagg has the opportunity to be the biggest disruptor to the NBA draft since the one-and-done rule was instituted. We'll get to that more. First, here's the Big Kuhn with the Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast. Hey.
What was just a month ago being openly dismissed as, that'd be cute. The idea of Cooper Flagg staying in college basketball, staying at Duke, if one of the Charlotte Hornets or Washington Wizards were to win the lottery. There has been, I wouldn't say an uproar, but there's certainly a section of folks in the NBA that want to abolish the draft and turn it into a free market principle, of which I think would be the most disruptive thing to competitive balance on the face of the planet and would be the dumbest possible thing you could do.
It would not be great, Bob.
Because if you ask an 18-year-old kid if he wants to play in Utah or if he wants to play in Los Angeles or Miami, despite making more money, where are they going to go?
LA.
It's just, it is what it is. But beyond that, if Cooper Flagg has this opportunity and opts to go, those are two dysfunctional organizations and not a normal level of dysfunction. The Charlotte Hornets have not won a, or sorry, the Washington Wizards have not won a playoff game since George Bush was in office. I'm sorry, that was the Hornets. The Wizards won in one playoff game with John Wall.
Which Bush?
George W. Bush.
Okay.
So it has been a...
Well, that's better than H.W.
You're not wrong. But they're dysfunction beyond dysfunction. There's a sliding scale of dysfunction in the NBA. But there are folks around him and the people around in those camps that have started putting that out there that if you don't come correct and you win the lottery, Cooper Flagg could indeed return to college basketball. And the reason why is with NIL and with the landscape of media and the focus of college basketball coming back into the foresight or the zeitgeist of culture, the return of Cooper Flagg, he would make more money in college basketball next year than he would as the number one overall pick. Now, you wouldn't start the clock on your NBA contract, which does need to be considered. But I've heard...
Especially when Max Guy's going to be making $100 million.
In about 8 or 9 years. So the sooner you start that clock, the better. But you are no longer just losing those earnings by staying in school. I have heard a number as big as $12 million in just NIL to keep Cooper Flagg at Duke if that opportunity were to present itself.
And that's the great equalizer of NIL. One thing is you're not going to have guys jumping out too early just to chase the check. They're going to be able to stay in school and make a good chunk of money. But $12 million is a lot of money. And that could also start, you know, he's a New Balance athlete, correct?
Yes.
You could have a signature shoe put out for a college player at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they would bat an eye on that.
If New Balance were smart, they would. Now, you do run into some issues there at Rutgers. Both Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper are Nike athletes, and Rutgers is an Adidas school.
Mm-hmm.
But as they played at Oregon, the face of Nike, guess what they wore on that basketball court? They wore Nikes. So you can get around a little bit, but I believe Duke has a bit more of an ironclad deal mm-hmm. with Nike. But you can do his lifestyle brand. He can wear it off the floor. You can do all that kind of stuff. And honestly, if you're bringing him back, maybe you allow it. You tell Nike, look, guys.
Nike ain't going to play that game.
Yeah.
Nike ain't going to play that game.
Well, what could be worse is if he does wear Nikes on the basketball court and blows one of them out.
Zion.
Ooh.
But you don't reclassify to and move up a year in high school to stay in college for 2 years, right? And here's the thing about Cooper Flagg that even if he does say, no, I'm coming back for a year, the way that the NBA lottery is set up is that he'll still go to the worst team in the NBA. And the reality is the Washington Wizards or the Charlotte Hornets still going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA next year mm-hmm. as well if they don't have a Cooper Flagg on their team. And so you're just kicking that can down the road instead of getting to your next contract sooner. I think it's still pretty far-fetched, but it's interesting to have this conversation because mm-hmm. if you want to talk about what could get rid of the one-and-done rule, it would be the NBA saying, oh, crap, we have to wait because what does the NBA want? They want an American-born star of the league and face of the league.
And Cooper Flagg has all of it, the mentality, the game, let's be fair, the look.
And so you go down that one and you say, you want to get rid of the one-and-done rule, have a kid say, you want to make me go to college? Fine. I'm going to stay in college mm-hmm. then. And I'm going to stay in college a little bit longer. And I know you want me.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA, although Cooper Flagg is a generational talent, that may be one that kind of pushes things forward too. And the NBA likes the one-and-done rule.
Yes, because they want guys to go to school because LeBron is basically the only one. Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, you're talking about generational freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Going straight to the NBA out of high school is dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yep.
It just is.
You but that don't, flag kid, he's one of them.
He's probably on that list. I squint, you can maybe make the case for A.J. DeBonta, who's going to BYU next year, and it's because his physicality is very LeBron-esque. He is 6'9".
That's what every team does that drafted a high school kid. They're squinting, hoping, praying that at some point in his rookie contract, he becomes an NBA player.
Yeah, but I mean, 6'9", 240. Not too many guys come out moving like that. And if you want to catch him, he'll be at Hoop Summit this year in a couple of weeks. The other interesting part of this is, does this become a Ryan Leaf, Eli Manning situation where does he force?
Philip Rivers.
Sorry, got my Chargers quarterbacks mixed up and my Mannings. Does this turn into a situation where Cooper goes, trade the pick or I'm not going?
That's more likely. That is more likely. And we have not seen that in the NBA.
No, it would be seismic. And it also might be a thing that if you are good enough, you can start dictating those terms in a sense. Now, you're not going to be like, you need to trade the pick to the Lakers. That's not going to happen. But do you trade the pick to a team with slightly more functionality?
Well, like a Utah. Like if you're saying,
Utah, give up all of the draft capital that you got. That you currently own, that 2031 Phoenix pick, some of the, a Cleveland pick and a Minnesota pick, as well as your pick this year.
Let's swap those bad boys out.
Whatever it is, and Cooper is yours. Yeah. And I think that that's the kind of thing, and that might be a way, not to totally deter tanking, but to the egregious nature of what the Wizards, Hornets, and even Jazz have done this year.
Or the Oklahoma City Thunder give up all the picks that they own to Washington.
Which, sweet God, no. The terrifying thing here is, what if, and we did this yesterday when I clicked Tankathon, the Phoenix Suns won the lottery four different times with like a 1% chance when I was clicking through it. He wouldn't go to Phoenix. He would go to Houston because they own that pick.
That'd be good for the NBA.
I mean,
rig the lottery. Make sure it happens.
Have you heard the other conspiracy theory? The Dallas Mavericks are going to get the rigged lottery and for giving Luka to the Lakers, that they will win the lottery and Cooper Flagg will be a Dallas Maverick.
Now, that would go right in the face of your sleeper agent conspiracy theory, because a Cooper Flagg, New Balance guy,
yes, and that's why
would
I don't,
be going
that's,
to Nico
that's
Harrison.
Why I don't believe
you
it.
Don't believe it. Don't you don't believe it.
Believe it. I'm like, now, they're not rigging that to put a New Balance athlete in one of the five biggest markets in the country. If anything, they're going to rig the lottery to have him go to Charlotte and stay in North Carolina.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert, New Balance has the biggest name in baseball, too, in Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
They've come out of nowhere. Okay.
They've come out of Boston.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, as far as, like, the people that they've kind of picked up, they started originally with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that didn't really work out for us. Let's spend a little bit more money and go, top of the group. They added Cam Brink to that list, too. Like, they're doing some things. It's going to be interesting to see what they're doing. The Portland Trailblazers take on the Boston Celtics in an hour and 15 minutes.
Is it really the Celtics?
Yeah. What version of the Celtics? And does this open the door for the Blazers to win a game they probably wouldn't otherwise? We'll get to that as we wrap up today's show here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The Portland Trailblazers are going to take on a team known as the Boston Celtics, but they will be without three of their all-star starters. Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, and a bit of a surprise, Jason Tatum, otherwise known as the Trailblazer Killer, will not play tonight. It has caused quite the swing in the spread. For those that are unaware, Jason Tatum, over his last eight games against the Trailblazers, averages 30 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists on 50-44-84 splits.
That's good.
I mean, he has just slaughtered.
Dang.
This team. I mean, he presents, like, the thing the Blazers haven't had for years is wings, and now they finally do, and now he's not playing. And it's like, oh, this is a bit of a bummer. I want to see how these guys stood up against those guys. And so now you've got the Celtics, who are, without a doubt, the most top-heavy team in the NBA, playing without most of the top.
Joe Mazzulla, it's Ash Wednesday, so he has as a Catholic, he has the ash on his forehead, and he was asked by Abby Chin in his pregame press conference, you have six players on the injury report tonight. Can we ask you about them? And he said, no. He was not into any of the questions about the guys that are hurt. It's a shoulder impingement that just kind of is popping up with Jason Tatum. So this is we're playing the Blazers. We're going to be all right. They have Jaylen Brown, Peyton Pritchard, Derek White. That's going to be your scoring punch for the Celtics tonight. I like the Blazers' chances to cover.
To cover.
I'm also I'm taking the over on Peyton Pritchard. His over-under is 15 points. I got him at 15.
You going to take the over if Tumani Kamara's guarding him?
No, because he'll be guarding Jaylen Brown.
I think you're going to see Denny spend a significant amount of time on Jaylen.
All right.
That's going to be one of the interesting matchups. Jaylen's much more downhill.
Derek White, then, you're putting Tumani on? Why would you waste the length of Tumani Kamara on the shortest player on the court?
That's exactly why. You can completely take him out of a game. And right. Force Jaylen Brown, who, while being a downhill force, is not the best creator.
Okay. Well, I'm still taking the over, 15.
Okay. I mean, look, it's a decent one. He's definitely due for a bounce-back game because he looked god-awful the last couple games. He had a minus 32 against the Cavs.
That doesn't seem good.
No, not great. That's
doesn't seem good. No tough. Jeremy Grant for the Blazers. That's good.
It did sound like Jeremy was going to go, but now he is not. So,
yeah.
There you go.
They've looked better without him.
Maybe signs of things to come.
I mean, in all honesty, they have looked better offensively without Jeremy Grant. over the last handful of games, and we're going to see that continue tonight. No Jeremy Grant in Boston taking on the Celtics. So
In Boston.
Blazers went from 9.5-point dogs down to 7.5. Now it's back up to 8. We're back up to 8.
Last I saw was 8. Yeah, that happened after they announced that Grant was out.
Jeremy Grant worth a half a point.
I ever rop in here right now. Eyes got big at that spread.
Half a point.
Look, they've been covering machines over the last 20 games.
Yeah.
Vegas had them pegged pretty well. They do not anymore. So,
well, as I told you guys in the break, too, this season, the Blazers against the East are 16-3 against the spread.
16-3 against the spread.
And the Celtics 7-11-1 against the spread versus the West.
Because the books down in the desert do not have a firm grasp on what the Eastern Conference is. As opposed to the Western Conference, you see everybody just kind of bunched together. But when they play the East, they beat the ever-living crap out of them.
Yeah.
Like there is a very clear pecking order difference outside of Boston and Cleveland in the East when they come West. So.
All right. Well, let's get to it.
Look, it gets down to 7.5. I might take them to cover that spread.
7.5 is the number that I got it at.
Yeah.
I got it at 7.5.
7.5? Ooh.
Yeah.
I might take the Blazers to cover that spread.
Yeah. You had to jump quick because it was right when it was announced.
Yeah. 7.5? Yeah, I could take it. Beyond that, I need that hook.
You need the
hook. I need that hook. Especially with that many guys out, stuff gets weird at the end of games, and you just kind of go, eh.
Well, there was Jaylen Brown was questionable, too, and they said, no, he is going to be good to go. If he would not have been in the lineup, I don't know who comes off the bench at that point for Boston.
Yeah, no.
Because it would have
been a lot of Sam Hauser at the three. It
would have been a barren wasteland of players coming off the bench. Because, as you said, they are very top-heavy, that Celtics team.
Look, they're very good.
Maybe Joe Mazzulla would have suited up. We would have seen...
Throwing the shorts back on?
Yeah, with Ash Wednesday. Dude, he would have had he would have had all the power of the church behind him on that one. So... All right, Blazers, Celtics, 4:30.
We're going to get some hot Nemias Cade action.
4 o'clock. Jeez, that game's in an hour?
Yeah, I got to boogie over.
This is crazy.
I'd love East Coast starts. I get home before midnight.
Yeah. Hey.
It's wonderful.
See? A little something for everybody there, huh? All right, that does it for us on this Wednesday. We'll be back on a Thursday from noon to 3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to yours. It's prime time. That's good soup right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Sorry.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.